heartache and the pain that David must have felt. I told you that story because I want you to try and put yourself in his shoes. And placing yourself in his shoes to feel the pain, knowing that it was your actions, your self-indulgences, that led to this affliction. Because as the story unfolds in 2 Samuel chapter 12, after Nathan said to David, "You are that man," David heard the punishment from God that your child will face the consequences. And you will lose that child. Skipping down to verse 13. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die." Then Nathan went to his house. The Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David. That child became sick. You know the pain of a child being sick when you had nothing to do with it. Can you imagine the affliction and the internal pain when that sickness was brought about because of your actions? If you're watching online and you're not a part of the spiritual family here at Florence Boulevard, you may be unaware of the fact that we've lost a handful or more of our spiritual family members in the recent months, some having funerals just as recently as yesterday. Maybe not our spiritual family members, but several of those spiritual family members have lost their family members. And if it's not the loss of life, it's sickness, cancer treatments that are taking place, children who are sick, wrestling in relationship issues. Maybe some people might be fighting those pains. We are a church that's hurting. How do we navigate the hardships of life? Not all of those situations are situations that were brought about because of our own actions. But we have to fight through them. So whether they were because of us, or whether they are in light of us, it's not our fault. How do we get through that pain that many of us are feeling today? I'd like to use David as a case study on how we can navigate those hardships. This was a man who felt the pain of this life. I want you to see in the text several action steps we can take to fight through. Nate, if you would, show everybody the text on the next slide. Skipping down to verse 16. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child. I've got to stop. First thing we need to be doing while trying to fight through and sort through those hardships of life, to navigate through them, we need to seek God. David sought God in the midst of this heartache. What does that mean? There's intentional effort to seek after the Lord, to go and try and find His face. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1, David, the Bible says, sought the face of the Lord. He was wrestling through another tumultuous situation and trying to deal with it as king. The Bible says that he sought the face of the Lord. What does that mean? He went to him intentionally to lift up the situation that he was going through. You think about people like Job. He sought the Lord. And wrestling with life, he took it all to God. Jesus on the cross, he lifted up his voice, and did he speak to the apostles? No. He lifted up his voice, and did he speak to the women at the foot? No. He lifted up his voice, and who did he speak to? The Father. I think of the apostles. Numerous times throughout the book of Acts, we see those people gathered up into homes. What were they doing? Seeking the face of the Lord. In the midst of the hardships of life, let's seek God. Next one. And David, the Bible says there in verse 16, David fasted. And he went in and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not. And the Bible says, nor did he eat food with them. They wanted to lift him up off of the ground, but David wouldn't do it. He was taking part in a fast. You know, the Bible says, Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, and when you fast. Notice that the Bible does not say if you fast. I'd like to see a raise of hands of how many people have gone through a fast. Don't do it. But how many people have gone through a fast before? I'm not talking about a medical fast. I'm not talking about dietary fast that's popular in the culture of this day. I'm talking about a fast that is spiritual by nature, to restrict ourselves and to keep ourselves from physical sustenance so we can lean more closely and fully upon the Lord our God. The Bible says, when you fast. As a matter of fact, the early church took part in these fasts. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, I don't believe that Paul and Barnabas knew they were about to be set out on their missionary journeys, but through worship, prayer, and fasting, the Spirit spoke to them. And later in another chapter, chapter 14, verse 23, at the appointing of elders, guess what they did? Fasted. Why? Because in the midst of the hardships of life, sometimes we tend to lean on other sources for comfort. Sources that aren't bad, but some that could be quite detrimental. Maybe if you're going through a hardship, you need to slow down fast. And fast. That's what David did. Maybe even for a period of 7 days. The Bible says on verse 18, on the seventh day, the child died and he rose. David sought the Lord, navigating through the hardships of life. He involved himself in a fast throughout the hardships of life. Nate, show them the next one, please. And notice how on this next slide, the highlighted text behind me in front of you. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. On the ground with his sick and dying child. What do I see in David? David is somebody that did not ignore the reality that was in front of his face. Sometimes as we face hardships, it's tempting just to ignore it and act like it's not there. Sometimes as we deal with the consequences of the pains of life, we want to ignore. Grief causes us to want to ignore, to push it off, to push it away as if it's not there. And so we ignore the reality that is this life. David did not ignore it. As a matter of fact, he faced it. On the ground. Head on. People even tried to raise him from the ground, but he would not do it. How do we face reality? How is it possible for us to get through the hardships of life? Click to this next slide, and I want you to see how the text unfolds. And so the child, as this is happening, the child had to pass away. God said it would happen. So David rose up off the ground, he bathed, he clothed himself, he got food. And when David, verse 19, saw that his servants were whispering together, David understood that the child was dead. But notice this, and David said to his servants, is the child dead? Excuse me, I got ahead of myself in the text. Is the child dead? It has not been affirmed, confirmed yet. David asks this question to the people who knew the answer. You know, in order to face the hardships of life, in order not to ignore reality, we need to ask hard questions. I don't know what hardship you're facing, who you're facing it with, but we need to face it head on, asking ourselves the hard questions. And then clicking to the next slide, this is the part I've already told you about, and I apologize for that. That he arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. Just this past week, I was blessed to have a man seek my presence. He came into the office, sad and hurting. Through tears and conversation and prayer, he made the statement, "Austin, have you ever seen how when David was going through all of that, that the Bible actually says he got off the ground, he washed himself, anointed himself, and he clothed himself?" The man said, "It's my time. It's my time to rise. God's not done with me yet." If you want to be able to rise up off of the ground, I think first you need to seek God in your pain. You need to trust in Him. However you do that, maybe it is a spiritual fast. Not ignoring the reality of life. I think you can come to this point like that man in my office, like David in the text before us. So you can get to this point, I can praise God in my pain. Notice that next phrase in verse 20. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. I'll never forget the story of a woman who had lost her husband. It was a Wednesday afternoon. Late on that Wednesday afternoon, the husband, through sickness, passed away. All the family was gathered into the house, weeping and crying. And all of a sudden, mother, grandma, mama was gone, out of sight. Where did she go? Well, moments later, she came out of her bedroom, put together, cleaned up, ready to go. And they said, "Mom, where are you going?" And she said, "I'm going to go be with my spiritual family. I'm going to go be with God's people. I'm going to Bible study tonight." And if you knew what was good for you, you probably would too. Your father would want you to. I know our father does. At some point, we will be able to praise God in the midst of pain. I don't know what that's like. For you, I don't know how that's going to be possible. And you might even be asking that question, how? There's a wonderful text in the Lamentations. As the lament or the cry is taking place in this book, chapter 3, the middle part, I want to show you the shift and the change that takes place. Most of chapter 3, right after Jeremiah, Lamentations. Most of chapter 3 is about the suffering and the pain and the heartache and all these bad things that have happened. And listing off all these bad things that have happened, getting into Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Listen to this phrase. After he goes through listing all the bad things, he says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It's good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." In the midst of your pain, be like this man, like that man, like many men and women who've gone before us. Praise God in it, because His love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. It's absolutely possible to navigate the hardships of life. It was never promised to be easy. but it's guaranteed to be possible. When people give themselves over to the Lord, seeking Him in the midst of the hardships, leaning on Him however possible, not ignoring what's happening, but facing it head on, taking care of yourself, getting yourself up off the ground, knowing that you can praise God in the midst of the pain, and you can guarantee to trust in His promise. The last slide quotes David's statement in verse 23. I shall go to him, David speaking about his lost son, but he will not return to me. You know what David knew? That he would be reunited in heaven. And we have that. So I don't know what your pain is. But I know what God's guarantee is. In 1 Kings 15, 4 to 5, I'd like to read these verses and bring this to a close. Because I want you to hear the description of David. First Kings 15, 4 to 5. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem. Why? Verse 5. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn aside from anything that he commanded him in all days of his life. Watch this. Except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Do you know who Uriah was? The husband of that woman that David wanted and indulged one night with and then had that man killed. So do you know what the Bible says about David? He is imperfect and had to face the consequences of this life. But although imperfect, God used him to create in him a wonderful lesson for us today. We can absolutely trust and hope in the promise of God. No matter what our exception is, the sins and the shortcomings of this life, we're guaranteed to have the promises of God. A new name, Christian. A new home, heaven. A new place around the throne of God. And before we get there, with God's people, a spiritual family. It's possible to navigate the hardships of life. Not away from God, but with Him. Not apart from a spiritual family, but in the midst of it. And if we can help you in the pains of life, first being forgiven of sin into a right relationship with Jesus, we want to help you find that first step in restoration and comfort. Rescue from death itself in the blood of Jesus. Let us know if we can help you, so stand and sing together.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.